Last week, we started a new series called Detox, and it's all about unlearning the negative patterns of behavior that a lot of us have learned so far in 2020. And so the idea is, and this is what I think God was speaking to me about this series, is that if we don't unlearn these patterns of behavior, it's actually going to hurt us physically, spiritually, emotionally. And so we're talking about, first of all, we started last week talking about fear. We're going to pick that up again this week. I think we've learned to be afraid. And so we've got to unlearn how to not be. We've got to unlearn being afraid and learn to not be afraid. And so that's a two-parter. Next week, we're going to pick up with digital detox. We've got to detox from our screens. We're going to talk about detoxing from grief. There's been a lot of loss. There's been loss of life, but there's also been loss of dreams. And I think that's an issue that we need to address. Isolation, we've been trained to be separated. I think one of the worst phrases that has been coined is social distancing. All right, there's a difference between social distancing and physical distancing. You can't live and be socially distant. You're not wired to. And it will harm you if you live that way. I think that's a big one. And then we're going to end with pornography because I think that's its own pandemic. And I encourage you to be part of this every single week. And of course, because this is kind of a serious topic, I'm going to start every week with some funny stuff. Is that okay? That's your cue to laugh when I show you this stuff. I'm just preparing you. Did we skip the murder hornets? It feels like we skipped the murder hornets. We talked about the age of hyperbole last week. All right. Due to quarantine, we will only be telling inside jokes from now on. That's pretty good. You get it, right? If I'm quarantined with my wife for 2 weeks and I die, it wasn't the virus. All right, we must protect Tom Hanks at all costs. All right, if you're not laughing yet, come on, join the crowd. It's okay. A lot of people told me in the other service this was their favorite one. Due to the recent coin shortage, no one is allowed to put in their 2 cents anymore. That could deliver us from a lot of trouble right there. Don't believe everything you read on the internet about COVID-19, says Bob Dylan, drummer Metallica. You get it? All right, that's pretty funny. All right, let's pick it up in 1 Samuel chapter 17. Last week, we talked about unlearning the spirit of fear, and our example is the account of David and Goliath, famous Old Testament story. Remember, Goliath is a 10-foot tall super soldier, nearly 10-foot tall soldier, who is shouting every day at the armies of Israel. Remember, the armies of Israel are on one side, the Philistines, which are the enemies of Israel, on the other side. The Philistines send out Goliath. He's probably ugly. He's probably loud. And the Bible says he intimidates Israel every morning, every night, for 40 days. And the scripture says that when they heard the Philistines' words, Saul and all the Israelites were dismayed and, say this with me, terrified. So Goliath was spreading fear into Israel, and it was working. Every day, every night, he is just spreading fear, and it began to take hold of their lives. Goliath's voice was the voice of fear. And let me remind you that there is a difference between unhealthy fear and healthy fear. Healthy fear is good. God created us with an instinct. When you see a snake, you know, your heart begins to race, you get out of the way. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Right? But then there's an unhealthy fear that imagines, that controls, and that's not from God at all. So what we're talking about here is an unhealthy fear. So David comes on the scene, remember, and he's a teenager. He hears Goliath spouting these threats against Israel, and his response was Is there not a cause? So we talked last week that if you're going to detox from fear, you've got to replace fear with purpose. Okay? Now let's pick up the story. Here it goes in verse 32. So David said to Saul, "Let no man's heart fail because of him," because of Goliath. "Your servant will go and fight with this Philistine." Saul said to David, "You are not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him." Now, how many know that's one way to recognize when there's a spirit of fear? Because the spirit of fear says, "You can't. You can't do this. You're not able. You shouldn't." Right? And so that's when you know the spirit of fear was controlling them, because Saul says, "You can't do that because you're a kid and he's a man of war from his youth." But David said to Saul, "Your servant used to keep his father's sheep. When a lion or a bear came and took a lamb out of the flock, I went out after it and struck it and delivered the lamb from its mouth. And when it rose against me, I caught it by its beard and struck and killed it. Your servant has killed both lion and bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them, seeing he has defied the armies of the living God." Moreover, David said, "The Lord, who delivered me from the paw of the lion and from the paw of the bear, he will deliver me from the hand of this Philistine." All right, it's about to get good. You see, when David volunteers to take on Goliath, the spirit of fear says, "You can't do that." But David reminds Saul that God had already prepared him for this moment. I'm trying to tell you that if you need to detox from fear, we got to remember the goodness of God. How did David overcome his fear in order to face Goliath? Well, the Bible says he began to rehearse the times in his life where God had already delivered him, where God had already moved on his behalf. He remembered the times earlier in his life where he had faced fear, but through God's grace, he had overcome. I like the way Ed Young puts it. He says, when you're faced with fear, don't go hysterical, go historical. Well, that's good stuff right there, right? David rehearsed the goodness of God, what God had done for him. And can I tell you, I think that's what we need to do in 2020. We need to say, you know what? Let's remember when God delivered us. Let's remember when God healed us, when God saved us, when God provided for us, when God answered our prayer. But some will say, "Well, Pastor, we've never faced a worldwide pandemic before." Actually, we have. You got to read history. We have faced this and much worse. And we've lived to tell about it, amen? One of my pet peeves is the phrase, "unprecedented times." I hate that phrase because we have faced much worse. There are people in this room that lived through the Great Depression. You've lived through world wars. You've lived through much worse than this. Amen, everybody? And we've overcome them. You see, David never faced Goliath before, but he was prepared for this moment when he faced the lion and he faced the bear. I'm trying to tell you that you have been prepared for this moment. Long before 2020 ever happened, God was preparing you and me when he was showing up for us in the past. Amen? God has been preparing us from the beginning of our lives. You just got to remember today the times that God helped you. When you stepped out in faith, you were afraid to tithe for the very first time, giving 10% of your income to God. That can be a scary thing. And God showed up and he provided again and again and again. You started a new job. It required you to move to a new city. Your kids had to start a new school and it was scary, but you took a step of faith and look at you now. God has moved on your behalf. You started school as an adult because you're going to change your career. You were out of practice. You hadn't studied a book in a long time, and yet you did. You took a step of faith, and God provided. Amen? You started a company. You took a risk, and now not only are you providing for your family, but you're providing for many families because of what has happened. You dealt with your family member's addiction. Not once, not twice, but many times. You did it before, you can do it again. Maybe you were the one who was addicted, and maybe you're fighting addiction even now. You were clean for a while, but you messed up, and now you're on a brand new start. I'm trying to tell you, you did it before, you can do it again. Some of you walked through the valley of the shadow of death. Somebody you loved died, and there were days that you didn't think you could even get out of bed. It was so hard, but you did, and God helped you, and you're still here. You're still fighting. You're still breathing. Listen, and now here comes 2020, and you face Goliath, and Goliath's voice is, be afraid. Be very afraid. Can we be like David? And let's remember the goodness of God. Let's remember the God that delivered me then is the God that will deliver me right now. I highlighted it for you so you can see it for yourself. The Lord who delivered me will deliver me. Some of us just need to start repeating that in our spirit. The Lord who delivered me, he will deliver me. Say it again. The Lord who delivered me will deliver me. One more time. The Lord who delivered me, he will deliver me. Somebody give God praise if you believe that that's true. Somebody needs to hear this. This is not a throwaway school year for you or for your kids, whether you're a teacher or a parent or a student. Can I tell you that this is your year to thrive? This is your year to be an overcomer? Some of you parents need to hear this because you're afraid for your kids. This is the year that the anointing of David comes upon them as they face their Goliaths, and they find out for themselves that there is a God who will walk with them as they face their fears. You can start that new business. Even in the middle of a pandemic, you can overcome whatever problem you're facing. You can be free of your addiction. You say, Pastor, how can you tell me that? Because the God who delivered me, he will deliver me. Amen. We need to remember the goodness of God. Now, if we were, I don't know, about 30 years ago, we would turn this right here, right now, into a testimony service. Right? Matter of fact, how many people would raise a hand and say, Pastor, there was a time in my life that God provided, God opened a door, God healed, God made a way, God did a miracle in my life. I'm raising both my hands. Come on, come on, come on. Amen. Amen. If he did it then, he can do it now. So here's what I like to do. I think this is an important step for all of us to take in response to this part of the message. What if you actually wrote down right now something good that God's done in your life? Maybe it was 6 weeks ago. Maybe it was 6 months ago. Maybe it was 10 years ago. Maybe it was 20 years ago. But just like David, you know, God delivered me then, he's going to deliver me now. Matter of fact, I'd like everybody who's watching online to type in your comments something good that God's done. Maybe you want to say, he delivered me or he saved me. If you're in the room, pull out your phone, all right? And I want you, if you could pull up the feed of the service, type it in the comments and just say, here's how God delivered me. Or maybe you just want to open a note in your phone or even text it to somebody and say, here's what God did in my life. Now, we're going to sing this chorus of this song that I love. I think you love it too. And while we sing this, I want you to remember the goodness of God and write it down. Is that okay? Is that okay, everybody? Amen. Let's sing and let's all take a minute and let's write down the goodness of God. Of the goodness of God. wrote this down on my phone. There was a day in January of 1999 when lightning struck this building. Not this building. The building, our church. And you know, and we've talked about it so much, it's such a big part of our story, sometimes we forget that. What was God doing then? We asked that question a lot when that happened, because it was hard to walk through that. What God was doing, he was preparing us for now. He was preparing us for you and for you. Watch this. And the same God that walked us through the valley then is walking us through this valley right now. Who knows what God is preparing us for right now? Somebody give God praise if you believe that's true. Amen. I think another takeaway we can learn from this account of David and Goliath, that if we're going to detox from fear, we need to replace fear's voice with God's voice. Fear has a voice. Faith has a voice. I think in this story, Goliath is the voice of fear. David is the voice of faith. So let's look at it. So David and Goliath, bell rings. Let's get ready to rumble. I'm trying to set this up for you, okay? All right, I'm trying. And so here they go. They're meeting. And here's what the Bible says. The Philistine cursed David by his gods. Now that word cursed is important because what is cursing? It's speaking death. It's speaking fear. It's intimidation. He's trying to intimidate David. And he says, come here, and I will give your flesh to the birds of the air and the beasts of the field. Now, what Goliath is doing right here is psychological warfare. He's trying to get in David's head. He goes, not only am I going to kill you, it's going to be really bad. You know, your flesh to the birds of the air, the beasts of the field. I mean, he's creating this graphic picture in David's mind of what he is going to do to David. It reminds me of one of my favorite movies, The Princess Bride. Anybody ever seen this movie? There is a scene where Prince Humperdinck, yes, that's his name, and Wesley are about to face off. Wesley has no strength because he was only mostly dead. Thank you for laughing, all right. You get it because you've seen the movie. And so here they are about to face off, and you can see the power of words to bring intimidation. Watch this scene.
To the death.
No. To the pain.
I don't think I'm quite familiar with that phrase.
I'll explain, and I'll use small words so that you'll be sure to understand, you warthog-faced buffoon.
That may be the first time in my life a man has dared insult me.
It won't be the last. To the pain means the first thing you lose will be your feet below the ankles. Then your hands at the wrists. Next your nose.
And then my tongue, I suppose. I killed you too quickly the last time. A mistake I don't mean to duplicate tonight.
I wasn't finished. The next thing you lose will be your left eye, followed by your right.
And then my ears, I understand. Let's get on with it.
Wrong! Your ears you keep, and I'll tell you why. So that every shriek of every child at seeing your hideousness will be yours to cherish. Every babe that weeps at your approach, every woman who cries out, dear God, what is that thing, will echo in your perfect ears. That is what the pain means. It means I leave you in anguish. Wallowing in freakish misery forever.
I think you're bluffing.
It's possible, pig. I might be bluffing. It's conceivable, you miserable, vomitous mass. I'm only lying here because I lack the strength to stand. But then again, perhaps I have the strength after all. Have a seat.
All right, if you've got a favorite line of Princess Bride, just go ahead and drop it right now, all right? Ma wedge. Ma wedge is what brings us together today. Do you have the wing? I can do this all day, sorry. Thank you very much. I think that's a great illustration of the voice of fear. The voice of fear wants to control you, wants to paralyze you, and wants you to give up without even a fight. That's exactly what happened. I think in 2020, the voice of fear, the voice of Goliath, is on the news and media and social media. Now let me illustrate this to you. And some of you are going to be tempted to turn me off. Stay with me. Watch this. There was one survey, and how many know there's always surveys and statistics, but this is just one survey asking Americans how many people in the country have had COVID-19 or died from it. And the answer to this poll was they think that 20% of Americans have had it and 9% of Americans have died from it. Now, the reality, though, is that 1% of Americans have had it, but 0.04% of Americans have died from it. Now, you could probably get different variations of these statistics. What I'm trying to point out to you is that this is what is perceived, but this is what's real. So what I'm trying to help you understand that if you listen to the voice of fear, reality will begin to be distorted. And the voice of fear is trying to control you and trying to paralyze you. If you haven't heard this yet, we now live in an attention economy, which means there are very smart people whose goal it is to keep you facing your phone or in a screen for as long as possible. Because the longer your face is in a screen, the more money is being made. Now, we're going to talk a lot about this in our digital detox next week. And so the problem means, what that means is one of the best ways to get your attention and to keep your attention is through fear. Psychology Today accounts that many news organizations hire consultants to use certain words to trigger fear in people's lives. Why? They're trying to get your attention. They're trying to keep your attention. And as a result, we're losing a grip on reality. Have you ever heard of the Babylon Bee? It's kind of a satire site, which leads us to this slide I found this week. Bible experts determine Goliath died of COVID-19. Sorry, that was totally free. Let me put it to you this way. The more you consume media, the more fear you're going to have.
That's right.
And the reason is because right now, a lot, I'm not saying all of it, but a lot of it is the voice of fear. It's the voice of Goliath. Be afraid, be very afraid. And so I think we've got to be like David. Instead of just consuming the voice of fear, let's do something different. So let's compare David's words with Goliath's words. So David said, "You come against me with sword and spear and javelin, but I come against you in the name of the Lord Almighty, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. This day the Lord will hand you over to me, and I'll strike you down and cut off your head. Today I will give the carcasses of the Philistine army to the birds of the air and the beasts of the earth. And the whole world will know that there is a God in Israel. All those gathered will know that this is not by sword or spear that the Lord saves, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give all of you into our hands." That's some pretty tough stuff right there. You say, "Pastor, what's the difference between Goliath's words and David's words?" Listen closely. Goliath's words were words of intimidation intended to produce fear. David's words aligned with God's word and was a design to produce faith in him and in the people of Israel. Come on, you got to get this. The difference between the two is Goliath was speaking the voice of fear, trying to instill fear, and David was speaking faith, trying to instill faith. Amen, everybody? You see, when we align our words with God's words, we become the voice of faith. The written word becomes the living word. Well, I wish I was in the right church today. You see, what happened? So David triumphed over the Philistine with a sling and a stone. Without a sword in his hand, he struck down the Philistine and killed him. He didn't have a sword in his hand because the sword was in his mouth. Come on, somebody. The Bible puts it this way in Romans 10:17, faith comes by hearing. Remember, Saul and the army, when they heard Goliath's words, they were afraid. But the Bible says we should hear the word of God and it produces faith. So we've got to replace the voice of fear with the voice of faith. Let me illustrate it to you this way. A long time ago, once upon a time, I was a young boy. And my family moved from the big metropolis of Columbus, Indiana, or at least it was in town. We moved to the country. Now, we were far out into the country. We used to joke that you had to go towards town to go hunting. Yeah, we were in the woods. And so I think I was 10 years old. My oldest brother graduated from basic training with the National Guard. So he was flying back into the Indianapolis airport to come back home. Now, it was his flight was late, really late at night. And so my parents said, hey, would you like to ride with us to Indianapolis to pick up your brother? I don't know what came over me at that moment, but I'm like, nah, I'll stay home by myself. Now, how many know it's darker in the country than it is in this city? Right? You guys know what I'm talking about? And so my parents left. You know, I'm by myself. It seemed to get darker. And wouldn't you know it, here comes a thunderstorm. I mean, lightning, and there's wind, and the trees. Remember, we're in the woods, you know, and I'm in my bedroom, and when the flashes of lightning would come, I could see the trees like they were reaching out to grab it. My mind was going crazy. I was very afraid. Well, my parents had recently bought all of us a open letter study Bible. So I sat there on my bed. I opened it to the book of John, John chapter 1, and I just began to read the Bible out loud to myself. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. I just began to speak God's Word. Next thing I know, my mom is waking me up. Wayne, wake up. We're home. Because I had fallen asleep hearing the Word of God. Fear was replaced by faith. The voice of fear was replaced by the voice of faith. See, I think if we, you and I will decide right now not to listen to the voice of fear so much, but listen to the voice of faith. I've got an illustration on the screen back here. It's kind of like we all have this volume control in our lives. You got the volume control on fear. You got the volume control on faith. I think we just need to turn down the knob of fear and turn up the voice of faith. I think the voice of fear sounds a lot like the news these days, and the voice of faith sounds like the Word of God. Amen? So let's turn down the voice of fear. I'm not saying stick your head in the sand and ignore everything and just say, la, 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 la. That is not what I'm saying. I'm saying, why would you be exposed to it so much? Right? Let's make sure that the voice of faith is louder than the voice of fear. See, I think the voice of faith sounds like God's word. And if we become like David and we align our words with God's word, you know what's going to happen? Hearing of the word of God is going to produce faith inside of us. So here's what I'd like you to do. A little bit of homework. What if you just began to confess God's word over yourself, over your family, especially when you're afraid, but how about before you're ever afraid? Now, what I've done is I've selected 10 verses from the book of Psalms about fear. Now, there are hundreds of verses in the Bible about fear. And I think the reason there are so many verses in the Bible about fear is because there's so many opportunities to be afraid. The Bible has a lot to say about fear. And the reason I picked 10 verses from Psalms is because David wrote about half of the Psalms, and many of them are about fear. I hope you're getting the fact that David didn't just show up one day full of faith, ready to face Goliath. He had been rehearsing faith his whole life. You see it in the book of Psalms. So here's what I'd like to do. I want all of us to begin to confess God's word in our lives. So would you read this out loud with me? And let's make sure we read it in an animated way so that this video clip doesn't end up in some science fiction movie somewhere. Okay? You see what I'm saying? Are you ready? Are you ready? Everybody online ready? Even if you're watching in your living room, say it out loud. Here we go. Psalm 3, verse 5. I lie down and sleep, awake again, because the Lord sustains me. I will not fear, though tens of thousands assail me on every side. That's good. Psalm 34, verse 4. I sought the Lord, and he heard me. He delivered me from all my fears. Awesome. Psalm 32, verse 7. You are my hiding place. You will protect me from trouble and surround me with songs of deliverance. Selah. Pastor Graham pronounces that Selah, but that's his issue. That word means to pause and think about the fact God is my hiding place. He's going to protect me from trouble. Psalm 94, verse 19. When anxiety was great within me, your consolation brought me joy. Psalm 27, 1. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? Psalm 118, verse 6. The Lord is with me. I will not be afraid. Let's say that one again. The Lord is with me. I will not be afraid. One more time. The Lord is with me. I'm not going to be afraid. Psalm 56, verse 3. When I am afraid, I put my trust in you. In God, whose word I praise. In God I trust and am not afraid. What can mere mortals do to me? Psalm 4, verse 8. In peace, I will lie down and sleep. Let me stop right there. Some of you are struggling to sleep right now. You're struggling to get rest. And I just want to encourage you. This is your verse right here. I'm encouraging you to memorize this verse. And even when you're trying to sleep at night, but you can't, I want you to say it out loud with me, everybody. In peace, I will lie down and sleep. For you alone, Lord, make me dwell in safety. Awesome. Psalm 23, verse 4. We sang about it just a minute ago. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. One more. Psalm 121, verse 1. I look to the mountains. Where will my help come from? My help will come from the Lord who made heaven and earth. Would you give God praise for his word today? God's word is the voice of faith. And if we will turn up the volume of faith in our lives, what you're going to find is that fear will not control you. Right? Now, let me take one more step. There is a book by Tim Keller called The Songs of Jesus. I've had so many people recommend this book to me during the pandemic. It's a study of the book of Psalms, and it's a daily devotional, actually. And especially people who struggle with anxiety and fear have found great peace studying the book of Psalms. Some of you may want to lead a group this fall based on this book right here, but some of you may just want to get it individually. And it just illustrates what we're talking about here today, the power of God's word to bring peace, to bring faith. So, what fear are you battling? What does the voice of fear sound like to you? Today, let's remember God's goodness. Let's replace fear's voice with God's voice. Let's pray. Jesus, you stepped out into a storm And we're in a storm right now. And you said, peace, be still. The voice of faith. And God, we're praying that the voice of faith will drown out the voice of fear. And God, may we be like David. The same courage, the same faith, the same boldness that you gave David on this day against Goliath, would you give it to us in 2020? Fear wants us to be afraid. Fear wants us to be controlled, to give up before we even fight. But today, God, we're praying that you remove the spirit of fear from us. Help us to detox from the spirit of fear, from the habit of being afraid. And help us, God, to bury our face in your word, to love your word, to speak your word in Jesus' name. I pray for every person who is battling fear, God. They have night terrors. There's just a different level of fear. We plead the blood of Jesus Christ on every home that is watching this. We plead the blood of Jesus on every family, every mind, every spirit. God, that you would drive away. You have not given us the spirit of fear. That's not from you, but you've given us the spirit of power and love and a sound mind. We speak that today. Heads are still bowed, eyes are still closed. Some of you are here today, some of you are watching this message, and the Holy Spirit is you feel that drawing of the Holy Spirit, but some of you have been far from God. And can I tell you, the reason you've been far from God is because you've lost the fear of God. You've forgotten that your soul has a price, and Jesus paid a high price for your soul. And can I tell you that what we need, all of us need, is a healthy dose of the fear of the Lord. I think that will remove all fear. And so if you're here today and you say, Pastor, I'm not right with God, I'm not following Jesus, I can't think of a better time than August of 2020 for you to bend your heart and your knee and say, Jesus, I surrender. I surrender my life. I surrender my future. I surrender my mind to you. You see, you can't save yourself. You can't save yourself. This world proves that this world is not going to save itself. This world is in need of a Savior. You're in need of a Savior. So today, if the Holy Spirit is speaking to you and you say, Pastor, I'm ready to turn from the way I've been living, I'm ready to surrender my life to the living God, to embrace the gospel of Jesus Christ, to surrender to Him, then I want you to pray this prayer out loud. Everybody in this building is going to pray it with you, but let's pray this way. Would you say, Dear God, I surrender my life and everything I have to you. I confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. He died and rose again. And from this day forward, I'm following you. Holy Spirit, would you fill me with power to serve Jesus every day? In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Somebody give God praise for men and women and students taking the greatest step of faith. Amen.